John chapter 11. We'll go to John chapter 11. Understanding the ways of Jesus. You know, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he was known as a great teacher, rabbi. The things that he said and did were not the norm. They flew in the face of the religious authorities. But yet his message was righteousness and the standard of God. And his purpose was that God be glorified and that he be glorified. John chapter 11 is a chapter that includes the story of Lazarus' resurrection. And, you know, don't miss the miraculous aspect of this account. I mean, we so often we'll read the scriptures and things happen and where it's an amazing thing, but I want you to realize that you had somebody that was in the grave for 4 days. The grave. And they walk out alive. It's an amazing thing. An amazing thing. And we'll discover tonight the intent behind Jesus doing this. Just remember, by way of review, that this is Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They live in Bethany. They are friends of Jesus. And Jesus, at the time of this happening here, is across the Jordan, the eastern side of the Jordan. He went there after he was threatened by the religious leaders. They were going to stone him. And so he was over there. This has been several weeks now that he's over there. Lazarus has fell ill, and Martha sends a messenger. And I'm estimating it's about a 2-day journey. And the messenger travels from Martha to Jesus, and Jesus receives the message in verse 3, John 11, 3. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In verse 4, Jesus heard that. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And here's something that I believe is important to understand from the story. Is this is Jesus' response to the messenger, and therefore the messenger carries this message back to Mary and Martha. So, Jesus receives this message, and sometime shortly thereafter, I believe Lazarus would have died. Because when Jesus makes this statement, he speaks of a sickness. It's not unto death, but I believe somewhere in here, Lazarus would have died. The messenger returns back to Martha, from Jesus, delivers the message. And at this point, they would have been beginning the preparations for his burial. They would have been mourning his death. And the messenger returns with these words. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, think about the impact of such a statement. Here's my brother, and he is dead. He's laying out, we're preparing him to be buried. And a message from Jesus comes and says that this sickness is not unto death. Now, they knew Jesus. That's clear. They had a relationship. And they knew and understood his works and what he has been doing. And so, therefore, I dare say that there was probably a mixture of two emotions here. That of, Jesus, why haven't you come? Why didn't you deliver and heal our brother? And on the other hand, there is still hope because Jesus is Jesus. Notice in this response that Jesus' focus is on the glory of God. That's this response here is giving the purpose for what is about to come, the intent behind Jesus' actions, This explains it, because if you didn't have this explanation, Jesus' actions would be looked at as unloving or irresponsible, because what he does is he waits another 2 days. After he hears this message, he waits. But when you know what the intent behind what he's doing, it's for the glory of God, you can understand why he waits. Because he wants to make it very clear. One, Lazarus is dead. And number two, I raised him from the dead. He's alive. Glory is the emphasis here. Glory of God. Now, as you think about this aspect of glory, I just want to take us on a brief journey through the Gospel of John in reference to this. John chapter 2, just page back to John chapter 2. And this is in the context of the wedding at Cana. The wedding at Cana is Jesus' first recorded miracle, a public miracle, public display of supernatural power. And he turns water into wine. I want you to notice in verse 11 what John says. John 2:11 says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth what? Manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Notice the link between glory and belief. Glory and belief. You see, Jesus here, and this is an important thing to understand about Jesus, is glory. He desires to be glorified. He desires to glorify the Father, but he is also desirous of being glorified. And that is important because his glory manifests itself and guides people to believing in him. Because he is being exalted, which is propelling others to look to him and believe in him. And ultimately, that is why Jesus came. As Jesus came to provide the way of eternal life, and therefore people will believe in him and have that life. And so Jesus is being glorified. Chapter 9, John 11, 9. I'm sorry, John chapter 9 and verse 3. John chapter 9 and verse 3. Again, this is the context of the man that was born blind. And notice what Jesus says. Well, let's get the context. Verse 2. The disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Notice the emphasis upon him and who he is, and that others might see that and know him. John chapter 11 and verse 40. We're going to jump across a story where we're at right now. We're going to go to the end. And this is a little bit of a spoiler, but I believe this is important. In John chapter 11 and verse 40, let's pick it up verse 39. Jesus said, "Take you away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now remember, Martha was the one that sent the messenger. The messenger would have returned back to Martha with the message that we've been reading in verse 4. The sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so now, Jesus is approaching the tomb, desires the stone to be rolled away, and Martha responds, "He stinks, it's 4 days. Do you understand what you're doing, Jesus?" Again, we're seeing the emphasis on Jesus wants to make it very clear what happens and who accomplishes this work. In verse 40, it says, "Jesus saith unto her," listen to his response, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Now, where did he get that from? When did he say that? This was his response through the messenger. The glory of God is going to be seen. Didn't I tell you that, Martha? Didn't I say that? Folks, listen to this. Martha's brother has died. Dead. Gone. Stop. Breathing. Done. Lifeless. And Jesus here is saying, believe, Martha. Believe that this is not unto death, but that I might be glorified. Wow. I mean, think about that. The physical evidence, he's dead. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to accomplish something here. This is not unto death, but it's for my glory. Can you feel the conflict in her heart? The conflict in her emotions? John chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. Therefore, when he was gone, and that is Judas Iscariot, of course, we know what just took place here is Judas Iscariot has been targeted or named the one who was going to be betrayed, or I'm sorry, the one who was going to betray Jesus. Verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Dear ones, listen. Do you see the link here between God and Jesus and glory? And I think all, different people will agree that God is to be glorified here, but here we see this distinct link that Jesus also shares this glory. It's equal. Equal in sharing this glory with God the Father. And this is a large emphasis of his ministry, and John in his epistle or his gospel here makes that clear. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, look at verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Again, we see glory. And this is Jesus. He's praying to his Father. And this is he's very near to his suffering and his death. And he realizes the time has come. Glorify your Son. Look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Emphasizing the glory of Jesus from even before the creation of the world. May that be restored unto me. Verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. All this talk of glory, glorify, glorify, glorify. It is my understanding as I read this epistle, or this gospel, sorry, this emphasis upon glory and Jesus being glorified speaks of who he is. He's God. And he's deserving of that glory. And that glory is an important part of his mission on earth. That he shines as God on earth, and people see him, understand who he is, and believe. John chapter 11, go back there. Pick up the story in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now this is the agape love. Okay, so with Martha's message in verse 3, euphileo, the one euphileo is sick, fondness, a caring. In verse 5, Jesus' love for Martha, her sister and Lazarus, is agape. And you can make a lot of that or a little of that, but I believe that it shows how the depth of his care for them. They knew he loved them, but here it's clear that he loved them with a great depth. And verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, so he received the message, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. John includes that in here because it explains, it magnifies the glory of this miracle and of Jesus. So you have the messenger. Let's just think about the timeline here. Days 1 and 2, messenger travels from Martha to Jesus, delivers the message. Days 3 and 4, the messenger returns back to Martha. It's a two-day journey. Back to Martha, delivers the message. That same 2 days is the 2 days that Jesus is waiting, because he's already heard the message. He already knows he's sick. So he's waiting those 2 days. So by the time that the messenger returns and gives the message to Martha, Jesus is deciding to leave. And another 2 days later, day 5 and 6, Jesus goes now to Bethany. Verse 7, then after that he saith to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and goest thou there again? All right, now, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing Jesus' emphasis on glory overshadows danger. Because again, as we're going to see a little bit later, he understands God has got a plan, and that plan is going to be accomplished. No matter what man thinks, that plan's going to be accomplished. And it's going to be accomplished on the exact time schedule that God wants it to happen on. And so here we have the disciples don't understand all of that. They're just standing back looking at Jesus. They had stones and were ready to stone you just a couple of weeks ago. And now you want to go back? Realistically, that's a very sane argument. Why go back to a place where they threatened and almost killed you? I mean, let's face it, Jesus, you are a very... can't think of the word. You're a very prominent figure now. And your message is not always agreed with. They don't always agree with you. And so they offer their concern. In verse 9, this is Jesus' answer. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles, because there's no light in him. I smile, because sometimes Jesus seems to he just wants to make us think. Why didn't he just say it clearly? Well, I believe he does say it clearly here. And perhaps we struggle because we don't understand the Jewish mind and we don't come at it from a Jewish perspective here. My understanding is that the Jews, during this time period, the day was a 12-hour period. In other words, the day was when the sun came up to when the sun came down. The night was when the sun went down to when the sun came up. That's pretty straightforward, right? Now, that would change and flex because we understand the way the world is. But so it would be an average of about 12 hours, but that would change, but everybody knew when it was night, the sun would go down. All right, well, we got that part. We understand in Jesus' response here, he says, are there not 12 hours in the day? Okay, yes. Yes, there are 12 hours in the day. If any man walks in the day, he doesn't stumble. Why? Because he sees the light of this world. What is the light of this world that he's referring to? The sun. The sun is out. You see the way that you are going. You see the rocks. You don't trip on them because it is day. It is the time to move. This is when you need to do your work. Now, while it is light, while you've got the sun. But, verse 10, if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. He doesn't have light. He needs another light, but he doesn't have that. And so therefore, if you walk in the night, after the time of day, after the time when ministry should be done, you will stumble. What do I believe Jesus is saying here? I believe Jesus is saying, I must live my life now to the full. I must use all the time that God gives me. And the Father will dictate when the 12th hour comes to a close. And after that, I will not be able to minister. I will not minister. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he's using the very imagery of day and night, the sun and no sun, light and darkness. I minister in a set period of time. Just like your day is a set period of time, my ministry is a set period of time, and it is established by God. And now is when I must move. Now is when I work. And God decides when the sun goes down. God decides when the day is over. And I tell you, disciples, now is the time to move. Jesus, this is not the only place that he uses this kind of imagery. We read it about it in John chapter 9 already. John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And I really believe that's what he's bringing back to the disciples' mind. Just a few weeks ago, he's talking about this in reference to the man that was born blind. I am the light of the world. And now's the time that I must work. Well, these things, verse 11, I'm in John 11:11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. We laugh because we know the story. The disciples, they don't know what's going on with Lazarus. Jesus does. Notice here, it is before or right at the beginning of their journey back, and now Lazarus is what? Dead. He's dead. Jesus says, howbeit, verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. You know, don't you like this? That Jesus, it's almost cryptic first. John says, then Jesus finally just told us clearly. He's dead. He's dead. Now think about the ramifications of that. They're about ready to go on a journey into hostile territory to heal a man that's already dead. Again, we see Jesus' intent. Jesus is seeking to be glorified and to build the faith of his followers and to challenge those onlookers to believe in him. There is no question of his intent here. I'm blessed by his response in verse 15. He says, well, verse 14, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You see that for your sakes there? I am glad for your sakes. You see what Jesus is saying here? Listen, You see, Jesus' ministry is about people. He is about people. And here is his disciples, and their faith is being challenged, and they ebb in the flow of life. And Jesus says, "For your sakes I have waited, so that you might believe, so that your faith might be strengthened." Dear ones, listen, Jesus came for people, for you and for me. And this is clear because at the end of this book, again, the verse that I believe is the purpose and intent of John's writing in John chapter 20 and verse 31, "But these are written that you," people, "that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And so, they're on their journey back. They're heading to Bethany. Thomas says, verse 16, he's called the twin. Didymus is another word for twin. He says unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." That gives you the attitude. That's the attitude of these disciples. They're journeying back, and their fearless leader, Jesus, is taking them back to hostile territory to heal a man that has already died. And it is for their sakes that they might believe. Let's just go, we'll die with him. That gives you the perspective and the attitude of where they're at. And Jesus, being God, knows what's needed. And he knows what you and I need in our faith. And he knows when we need to be stretched and challenged and strengthened. And sometimes he's going to bring those things into our lives so that we might believe and trust in him. So we'll stop there. They're on their way back. They're heading to Bethany. And we're going to see what Jesus does here. Remember his intent. Understanding now the ways of Jesus, that he might be glorified, and he is ministering for the disciples' sake, for people's sake. Lord, I praise you and thank you for this recorded history of Jesus. And Lord, our hearts are blessed by knowing you. Oh God, I praise you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.